Spirit Blade Underground, October 17th, 2009.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, October 17th, 2009.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter France, I'm the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. Thanks for being here. You might notice my voice sounds just a little bit lower and huskier than its normal configuration because I've got family in town. My sister and her husband are here, and we were rocking out with them for like 2 or 3 hours last night on Rock Band, and I was doing vocals, which was actually a lot of fun. Because I don't know any of the songs, and so I just kind of learn as you go. It's kind of like, I equate it to when you're at a church you don't usually go to, and you're singing their worship songs, and you don't know their worship songs, but you're just kind of trying to sing along, and trying to kind of follow along where the melody's going next. You have no idea what's going on. So it was a very fun experience. Anyway, enough of that jibber-jabber. Let's get on to updates.
File access. Updates.
This week, I've been working with my tech guys to get the website ready for the release of Pilgrim's Progress Similitude of a Dream. We finally have an image to go along with the project, and I've included a small version of it with the post on the weblog at spiritblade.net/blog on Friday's post. The full-size version will be on the main website soon, but you can get a little sneak peek at what the project artwork looks like. I also hope to, I shouldn't say I hope to, I'm reading off of yesterday's post. I have finished the trailer, my test listeners have been instructed to give me their feedback sometime before this weekend is out so that I can make a final pass through the project before Monday. Then I just need to get the files to my tech guys and write up the copy for the website, and once that's done, we'll be all set to go. And as for that trailer, stick around because you're going to hear it on today's show because you guys are special. And, you know, I don't know. You get all the exclusive neato whatever stuff if it happens to be neato in your opinion to get that stuff from me. Anyway, I obviously did not prepare myself to do this podcast because the beginning sounds as crappy as the ending usually does. So we need to get on to the main event. I'm talking about 3 geeky shows that have come out this fall that I got caught up on and what I think of them. And we're going to be back in 2 Corinthians as well. And then near the end of the show, as I said, we're going to play that trailer for you. I also, just as a reminder, this month you can still get me your questions and comments for the Spirit Blade Dark Ritual Interactive Audio Commentary. That's a mouthful. And this month, I'm preparing to do the commentary for Disc 3, Track 1. The file is called Veritas. That section is called Veritas, if you're looking at the MP3s. That's where Silos kind of explores some elements of his belief system for the first time. He looks at the sevenfold purified texts, which you must never, never look at. But he looks at them. And then we also have the song Veritas. Oh yeah, and like the huge Merrick versus Vincent showdown, only one shall walk away. So that whole section of the project, I'd love to get your thoughts, your questions, whatever your reactions are to that whole thing. And if you call me at 206-350-1226, you can be immortalized. Your voice can be immortalized. I'll play your recording as part of the commentary and respond to your question on the commentary. You can also email me if you're a little bit more shy, paeter@spiritblade.net. But get those questions to me soon. You have until the end of the month to get me questions and comments on that section. All right, now for that, let's get on to business.
Primary features.
Television information.
Activating.
Well, recently I decided to get caught up on some TV premieres via Hulu. So if you find any of these that I'm about to talk to interesting, you can catch them on Hulu, at least for now. Sometimes they kind of rotate them out. I got to tell you guys that this podcast is so good for me. It really is. It helps me round myself out well because it's, it gives me yet another reason to be in the Word and really digging in and stuff like that. And I'm learning stuff always as I do the In Search of Truth stuff every week. And then this week, I have just been working my butt off so hard for the last 2 weeks, not doing really anything fun. And as a result, it's been kind of difficult to do posts on Pater's Brain. And I realized this week, I'm going to have nothing to talk about on the geeky portion of the podcast if I don't do something fun and geeky and take a break. And so this podcast forced me to take a break from my work and do something geeky, which I had not done in a few weeks. It was really nice. So thank you for listening, because you give me a reason to force myself to slow down and smell the sci-fi every now and then. All right. Flash Forward was the first show that caught my attention. An ensemble cast of familiar faces is led by Joseph Fiennes, I believe that's how you pronounce that, with moderate effect, but it all feels a bit like we've seen it before in another ABC show called Lost. In Flash Forward, the entire population of the world blacks out and experiences visions of the same day, 6 months into the future. The blackouts caused accidents all over the world, because they all happen at the same time. So accidents all over the world. Humanity is racing to recover from it all. The visions inspire fear in some and hope in others, and everyone is trying to solve the mystery of what happened and why. The show will possibly, I've only watched the pilot so far, the show will possibly take the opportunity to explore spiritual themes like the existence of God. I mean, already, I believe, if I remember correctly, somebody asked if God was doing this to, like, punish us or something like that. Which is, that's funny how that's always the first place to go. Why is God doing this to punish us, you know, instead of, you know, maybe there's something else involved if it's God. The existence of God, other supernatural beings may come up. The idea of free will and the nature of the future, I think, will probably pop up. In other words, is the future fixed or is it, quote, changeable? I put that in quotes because I really don't believe we can change the future, because if we could change the future, that implies that we know the future, and we can't know the future, apart from the glimpses we get from prophecy, and even those, there's not a lot of details in. Anyway, I think that stuff is also going to be kind of covered a bit and given some commentary. The dramatic elements in the show are interesting, but not uniquely compelling. And the repeated flash forwards feel, for me, too much like classic episodic elements of Lost to be anything new. As a sci-fi fan, the show is interesting to me, and I'd like to try it out some more, as it looks to have some interesting ingredients in its makeup. But with extremely limited time, especially right now, I just don't think I have time for a show with as few sci-fi fantasy elements as this show has, which are additionally unoriginally executed. I would love to get your thoughts on that. I already had one person post on Pater's Brain saying that they had dropped Heroes in favor of this show that was I, otherwise known as Alan. And I'd love to know from you, Alan, or anybody else, if this show merits me watching some of the further episodes and giving it more of a chance. Does the quality improve? Does it stay the same? Is it going anywhere? Does anybody get a sense that it's going anywhere? I dropped Lost after getting burned out after three seasons because I felt like they weren't going anywhere. And yes, for you Lost fans, I know I've been hearing a bunch of times, oh yeah, they're answering questions. Oh yeah, they're going places. Okay, well, when the show is done, when it is done, if I hear from you fans that yes, they answered all of my questions satisfactorily, then then I will go and watch the DVDs. All right, moving on to Stargate Universe. This show has been getting some buzz on a few Christian places that I've seen where people are talking about kind of Christian metaphor and Christian themes that they've seen in it. So I'm going to comment on that in a second here. But just my overall thoughts on the show. Once again, I'll say the Sci-Fi Channel brings us a Stargate spinoff. Though this offering may be different from what viewers have come to expect, in many ways the show is just as ungroundbreaking unfortunately, as its TV predecessors. Now, I should give you my background on Stargate so you can put my remarks in perspective, because I'm sure lots of folks will not agree with my thoughts on the Stargate TV show. I love the Stargate movie and some of the first season of the TV show, but it soon became static and plot-driven, which if you've listened to my podcast and reviews on some things before, like when I talk about Star Trek, I'm more into character-driven stuff than plot-driven, concept-driven stuff. So I felt that Stargate, the TV show, did become a little bit static in its characters compared to other shows, and plot-driven, concept-driven, as opposed to character-driven. There wasn't much artistry at all in the way that it was shot, camera angles and stuff like that. Very straightforward characters who behaved in predictable ways. Stargate Universe is my first exposure to the franchise since watching the premiere and two episodes of Stargate Atlantis, which I basically felt were the same in tone and in structure and all that kind of stuff as Stargate. I was disappointed to see transporter technology in the Stargate TV universe. They even called it beaming. More and more, this franchise feels and seems to be turning into, or have turned into, Star Trek set in modern times. It's just the camera, the static camera angles, the kind of characters, the concept-driven stories. It just feels very much like a Star Trek type show. Fans of Star Trek, I think, tend to, as I talk to a few people that are Star Trek fans, a lot of them are also fans of Stargate, the TV series. And I think it's because their tone, their structure, their scripting, their pacing, the way they shoot it, it's all very, very similar, or it has some similarities, I should say. However, I gotta say, Stargate Universe does start borrowing from better sources, in my opinion. The show obviously takes a cue from Battlestar Galactica, the new one, using a more handheld camera style than previous Stargate shows I've seen, so it gives it a little bit of realism there, just a slight Docco feel, not as hardcore as Battlestar, but anyway, it also shares Battlestar's theme of human survival in space, you know, somewhat grim. Not to mention, I gotta say, this was kind of interesting, not to mention a long-haired, scruffy-looking doctor with an accent that everyone needs but no one is sure if they can trust. Sound familiar, Battlestar fans? In general, the show has a grittier feel than previous Stargate shows, but far from the hard-hitting emotional realism of Battlestar Galactica, which, I gotta say, that's not a bad thing, unless you're especially in the mood for that kind of experience. And I'm not always especially in that mood, so I appreciate what they've done. I'm not asking it to be any darker. If they want to go darker, that'd be great, but you know, I don't need that. So I think that's just a great, that's a huge plus for this show. Unfortunately, they aim to keep things from getting too dark through using mostly forced, unfunny jokes. Maybe you guys laughed. I mean, I think that the kind of the geek that they hire because he beat the video game, you know, I think they're going for some comedic moments with him that don't really follow through. They don't actually get a laugh or even a mild chuckle out of me. Just kind of like, you know, okay. There was one joke on the doorstep when they were talking to him. I can't remember what it was, but I did think it was funny, but that was kind of the only one. Still, Stargate Universe seems to be giving more attention to character-driven subplots than previous Stargate shows, which I thought was great. I hope they continue that, because I enjoyed it. The pilot also contains a plot element in the second half centered on self-sacrifice. Now, as I said, I read some online buzz about this from other Christians who thought it represented some Christian themes in the story. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, but I didn't find it to be exclusively Christian as much as I found it compatible with the gospel message. I mean, it certainly shares that, you know, sacrificing self to save many others, you know. But I think that we've seen that enough. Like, if you look at some disaster movies like Dante's Peak and, gosh, what are those old disaster movies from the mid to late 90s? But if you look at those kinds of movies, there's lots of that kind of stuff going on. And so I didn't think this movie stood, or the pilot didn't stand out as having this really noteworthy theme of self-sacrifice. It had kind of what I would describe as a moment that lasted probably about 3 minutes, but it wasn't this huge thing. And I'm a little bit bummed because the character that sacrificed themselves, I was hoping they'd stick around because his relationship with the character he was hanging out with, I don't want to give any spoilers away, the character he was spending most time with, his relationship with her I thought was going to be really interesting, and I thought a good element in the show if they continued it, but because I didn't see any other elements quite like that relationship in the show. So it's a shame to see that go. Let's see here. What else? If I find the time, basically, as I wrap up my thoughts on Universe, I may watch a couple more episodes and consider sticking with it if the quality is maintained or improves. I definitely have to say that I am more impressed with this pilot than with previous Stargate shows. So that's a big plus. So if you're a Stargate fan, or if you've not checked out the Stargate, you know, franchise for a while, you might want to give this one a try. Jump over to Hulu and try out the pilot, see what you think. Okay, and finally, Heroes. Although last year Heroes got off to a rough start, this season begins with several of the bad elements that made this... what did I say? Bad elements? That's not even in front of me. I don't know why where I got that. This season begins with several of the elements that made this series, I think, solid to begin with. You know, last year we opened with the whole, ooh, the heroes have gone bad and the bad guys have gone good and all that kind of stuff. You know, it kind of felt like early 90s comic book plots where, like, let's break Batman's back and kill Superman and make Green Lantern insane, you know. it was just kind of like, let's screw with the status quo. And but, you know, if you don't have a good story that's propelling that and keeping that going and motivating that and, you know, the character-driven aspects of it, you know, then it's just kind of a gimmick. And I thought, like, the last season, especially the beginning, was a little bit gimmicky. But anyway, we're done with that. This season introduces a few interesting new characters without cutting needed development time for the plot lines of the core cast characters. I don't think there was much, if any, time spent on Hero in the second episode that I just watched, although there's stuff with him in the pilot. He's becoming increasingly annoying to me. He used to be my absolutely favorite character, but I think I just kind of want him to, I don't know, be different now. Matt Parkman's struggle with the ghost of Siler is unoriginal. We've seen it before in different formats, but it is interesting, and it provides, provided that it leads into Siler's proper return. I think we got to get Siler out of his head and back on the scene. Speaking of which, I still mourn the loss of Nathan as a character and wish they would bring him back instead of persisting with his shell. However, if and when they do bring him back, it will very possibly come with an assumptive statement about the nature of the human soul, whether there is a soul or, you know, whatever, for good or ill. So I think that's worth keeping an eye on. By that I mean, you know, Nathan's mom is saying he was content to just have Nathan's memories implanted into Siler, as if his memories were him. Like, we are just the sum of our memories. We're just data on the hard drive of our skulls, you know, as opposed to having a spiritual element that isn't composed of just memories and whatnot, that is the essence of who we are. So it'll be interesting if, you know, if they kind of bring Nathan back and, you know, if, how they deal with that, how they address the issue of the soul and just the spiritual element of the show. I think there's probably room for them to give commentary on that if they bring Nathan back, and maybe even if they don't. We'll see what happens with this whole Siler business. Regardless of what direction they take with the various mysteries and plot lines this season, I gotta say Heroes seems to be returning to its more character-driven roots. I can only hope they've learned their lesson and things will continue to improve from here.
Roni's Own Productions brings you a Bible story in a whole new way. We take you inside the Old Testament stories you thought you already knew. You'll meet characters and see situations, and it'll give you the feeling that you're actually inside the story. Our first story is Hosea, the prophet who God asked to marry a prostitute.
Leave this man alone. He has traveled far. I will show him around. My name is Gomer. I've never seen you in town. Who are you?
I am Hosea, a prophet of God.
Well, a prophet among us. Tell me the secrets of my heart. On second thought, you'd better not.
I want you to be my wife.
Are you crazy? Have you been in the sun too long? I am a prostitute. No one wants me for more than one night. That's my life.
My friend and I were having some time together, and you've interrupted it. And now, you are annoying me.
But she's my wife.
Sir, you may have had too much wine and come to the wrong tent. My love, do you know this man and these children?
Mama!
Come with that!
How could you do this to me?
If you are so upset with me, why did you bring me back?
You can find Hosea and many other great audio productions at jrdonline.com.
will set you free.
Every word of God proves true.
The truth will set you free.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
The truth will set you free.
Today we're searching for truth in 2 Corinthians, still in chapter 1, but we're just about to get out of it. We're starting in chapter 1, verse 23, and going through chapter 2, verse 11. I know it's a little bit wonky. We were doing once a chapter a week and then like a half chapter a week, and now I'm screwing you guys all up, but bear with me. And again, I want to encourage you to read this passage. As each week, I hope you read the passages before we get started. Otherwise, you're just listening to a dude who tries to do his research and present truth to you guys, but a dude nonetheless, and you'll be missing out on the words of God. Okay, so Paul did not delay his visit to the Corinthian church lightly. He's kind of talking about that here. Paul had a painful visit, he calls it, with the Corinthians once before, after which he wrote them a severe letter, which he refers to here in coming up in chapter 2. Paul had dealt strongly with the Corinthians in his last two interactions with them, and although it had been needed, he wanted to spare them more pain. Look at chapter 1, verse 23. Paul clarified his relationship to the Corinthian church. He was not their ruler, dominating their faith. He was a co-worker with them, which is really amazing if you think about a guy that was just as staggeringly connected to God and endowed with knowledge and wisdom by God to still look at the people that he's serving as co-workers with him. Their faith was their own. Paul commended the strength of their faith, recognizing how it had kept them standing firmly in the truth. Look at verse 24 of chapter 1. Paul greatly valued his relationships in the Corinthian church community. They weren't just another group of people he was giving instruction to. He knew that if he disciplined them again in his upcoming visit, they would be in pain from the confrontation, and the time spent with Paul would just not be enjoyable, and he didn't want that. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So Paul wrote a severe letter in hopes that the issue he was correcting would be mostly resolved before he arrived to spend time with them. He had confidence that the Corinthians would understand and share his intent for their correction. They'd share his pain over having to write what he did, and they'd share in his love as he loved them. You know, he was confident that they loved him as well, and as all that was expressed in the severe letter. So he was really confident that they would understand that they would, and they would respond to it well. Look at chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul also puts his words in perspective as he focuses on a specific person in the Corinthian church who had recently required correction and discipline of some kind. We don't have a whole lot of details. There's speculation on different theories on what this is referring to, but it's not really important for the immediate context here. When Paul corrected the Corinthians, it was not primarily because they had wronged him, but because they had wronged themselves and their community in some way. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. When we are corrected by God and or our spiritual leaders and mentors, because they are serving God to that end at times, it's because we are doing damage to ourselves and damage to others. It's not just because we've offended somebody's snooty sensibilities or just because we've offended God. Now, chiefly when we sin, we do offend God first and foremost. But he doesn't correct us simply because we're offending him. It's because we are not living the way that we are meant to experience life. Paul tells the Corinthians that the discipline carried out by the church community has served its purpose and that they should now comfort and accept the one they had been disciplining. So it's important that we remember to restore and comfort those who have genuinely seen their fault, recognized it as wrong, and accepted the consequences for their actions. Correction between Christians or conflict resolution between Christians, it's never aimed at ultimate separation, but ultimate reconciliation. And that can be hard. We want to just not hang on to those kinds of that record of wrongs, you know, if you will, that that even after something is, quote, resolved, can keep us separated from each other. We want to always be aiming toward reconciliation and unity in the body, in the Christian community. So look at verses 6 through 8 of chapter 2 there. One reason Paul wrote his last letter was to see if the Corinthians would, quote, stand the test and be obedient in everything. You know, it would have been one thing for the Corinthians to respond to his correction if Paul were present with them, you know, kind of looking over their shoulder, as it were, but it was a real test of their obedience to ask them to correct their behavior while he was unable to personally oversee them. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. Now, this is similar, I think, to the challenge we face every day as Christians who aim to live according to the Bible. Without the constant physical presence of Jesus, it can be very challenging to take his commands seriously and prioritize our lives around the desires of God. It's not that God is not able to see our lives or able to bring about correction through orchestrating events in our lives that will get our attention, you know, but sometimes that's what it takes because he's not physically, visibly sitting in the chair next to you and me. So that's a real challenge, I think, that we face that parallels this a little bit. But imagine for a moment, just imagine for a moment, the kind of impact that you and I could have on the lives around us if we were constantly aware of the reality of God's presence. If we woke up every day and we, you know, really believed that what we believe is really real, like really real, you know? If we lived as though what we believed was really real as the phone on my desk, you know. Paul delegated the authority to forgive erring members of the community to the community itself. This isn't forgiveness in the sense, I want to be clear, of justification in the sight of God. You know, we can't bestow forgiveness on other people, you know, as representatives of God. But it's rather relational forgiveness between people in the Christian community. Paul united his forgiveness with that of the Corinthian church so that there would not be opportunity for division that Satan could take advantage of. You know, like, oh, well, we might have forgiven you, but you got to wait and be forgiven by Paul. You know, he's the upper guy, you know. So he didn't want any of that division taking place. And so he trusted the community, the church community in Corinth. And just united his, you know, what you forgive, I'm going to forgive, okay? Look at verses 10 and 11 of verse 2. Okay, so next week, we're going to take a look at what Christians smell like. Read ahead if you want to know what I'm talking about. And the coffeehouse question for this week, what aspect of correction or conflict resolution most often makes you hesitate before having a difficult conversation with someone? I would love to hear from you on that. I think for me, it's I don't want to say anything stupid or that's going to hurt them. I tend to really kind of like think and process my thoughts a lot and strategize kind of how I'm going to approach it because my mouth can just kind of get away from me. So I really spend time thinking about what I'm going to say and why I'm going to say it, because I know what my potential is, you know. So that, I think, is probably the thing that makes me hesitate the most. And then also, I think, just kind of the difficulty of having that kind of conversation, the pain, the potential self-examination that I'm going to have to do before and during that conversation as they maybe lash out or even rightly express some things that I have done to wrong them or whatever. So that would be, from my experience, the aspects of correction or conflict resolution that most often make me hesitate. I'd love to hear from you on that. As I said, number 206-350-1226 or email me at paeter@spiritblade.net. This week I heard from Ben first regarding the coffeehouse question last week. Ben says, big one. I would say there have definitely been times, the question was about when you have felt an anointing on, you know, kind of in your life, in your ministry. And the biblical definition of anointing is the idea that you have been marked and set apart in some way for a specific ministry role. So what have you sensed might be your anointing, your purpose, your missional call in life, and what's that been like? It was something like that. I don't have the caveat question in front of me. But anyway, Ben shares his thoughts here. He says, I would say that there have definitely been times when I've come to realize my anointing in certain situations, both in working with teens and youth ministry years ago and also during a mission trip to Russia that I had the honor to serve on. For me, it can create a bit of an unnerving outlook. I would compare it to getting a big job promotion with lots of extra responsibilities. On one hand, I have faith that God would not have given me the authority unless I could handle it. But on the other hand, I start to feel the full weight of my broken humanity, and faith and fear start to do battle. I would like to say faith always won out, but that would be a shameful lie. There were times when I would just think too much and scare myself out of my potential, which is why I've spent the last few years really studying up on my theology and biblical knowledge, so when the Lord next calls me to task, my heart and mind can both spur me on towards greater faith. Ben, I can so relate to your experience. I had some really... I talked about it in the commentary, the recent commentary for Dark Ritual. I had some really difficult time in ministry for a couple of years as a worship pastor at the church that my wife and I attend. And God used it, but it was so painful, and it was so, in many ways, beyond the scope of my ability. And I just constantly had to rely on God because I was just a broken mess sometimes. I mean, just emotionally a wreck sometimes. And I've also seen times, you know, where you talk about, your full potential not being, you get scared out of your full potential. And I can relate to that too. I think that to some degree, God needed to take me through some things before I started to Spirit Blade Productions, because he knew that I didn't have the faith in him to embark on that journey earlier. And so he had to take me through some life lessons before I could do that. And I think I probably missed maybe three, as many as 4 years. I don't know. I'll never know. Of potential work in what I'm doing now because I was afraid. And so, man, I totally relate to what you're experiencing and what you have experienced. Thank you so much for sharing that. Ben also shares some free stuff info. He says, again, plugging iTunes. I don't mean to. That's okay. You can plug iTunes. I'm not against iTunes. I just don't care for it myself because of the way it runs on my computer and wants to take over everything. But anyway, I have no issues, morally or ethically against iTunes. So that's fine. He says, I'm not an Apple geek or anything, but it's a good resource, and you don't need an iPod or anything to make use of this. On the iTunes store, there is a section called iTunes U, which is basically free access to university lectures from all over the world. There are seminary lectures, theology courses as well, and most anything else you're after. You may have to search around a bit to find what you're after, but it's there and waiting for hungry ears. Also, yet another shameless plug, if you head to www.rzim.org, this is a worldwide ministry that deals with apologetics and biblical response. They have a radio show called Let My People Think, which Ravi Zacharias speaks on. You can subscribe to it with your podcast feeder. I have grown in leaps and bounds from this man's knowledge and wisdom and wanted to share that as I think it is an invaluable resource. Check it out. Okay, I've done enough advertising, he says. Do you know if your listeners have any good resources like this that they recommend? I'm always looking for more stuff to learn from. Ciao. Totally. I would love to hear from you guys on... what are you going to say? What was I going to say? I just had a massive brain fart. I'm with Ben on this. If you know of some lectures, resources, stuff like that, online, theological, apologetics type, audio resources, I'd love to get it. That's the only thing that I really listen to. I mean, despite the fact that I make a podcast, I really don't listen to podcasts. I just don't have the time. I make time for one podcast, and that is, actually, it's the Let My People Think podcast, which I've been listening to for... I think a couple years now, and Ravi Zacharias is a wonderful, brilliant mind. If you want to read instead of listen, I would recommend his book, Can Man Live Without God, which is not just about atheism. It covers the broad spectrum. It's an amazing book. It's just an amazing book that can equip you to deal with kind of the philosophies that are prevalent in American culture and just pop culture abroad, all over the world, just popular culture philosophy. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. But for free, you can go over to rzim.org and listen to the Let My People Think broadcast. A lot of very similar ideas from his book make his way into those podcasts as well. So I would highly recommend that you check it out. It's the only podcast I listen to when I'm working out or whatever. which I need to do more of, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, now, finally, we're at the end of the show, so I've finished work this week on the trailer for Pilgrim's Progress, Similitude of a Dream. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a great week. We'll see you, well, I won't see you, but you'll hear me if you come back next week, and until then, enjoy this trailer, and don't forget to seek the truth.
For over 300 years, one story has captured the imagination of millions. One mythical journey has never been more real. A solitary life perseveres on the quest for truth. And though he travels alone, we stand at his side. For his story is our story.
This book contains the secrets of the universe. I'm cursed by a dark power that drains the life from me. That's why I must get to the Mystic City, where the Absolute can purge my curse and recreate me. It's the only way I'll survive.
Do you think of yourself as religious?
I don't know. I'm a man after the truth, wherever it leads me.
Religion is complicated and convoluted. You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
You'll run into many paths near this one while traveling. They'll be crooked and wide.
You have to learn to discern the truth. Sharpen your mind and do not be deceived.
Run, Christopher. Run.
A storm made of fire is coming, and this city will be destroyed.
There's a dark power at work here. This place is called the Swamp of Dread Gloom.
If you keep going this way, you'll have swords at your throat, dragons at your back, and in the end, death.
The choice is yours, Christopher. It has always been yours.
Spirit Blade Productions presents a reimagining of the classic tale by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. The quest begins at spiritblade.net.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Peter is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.